Wednesday afternoon, Chayvus Halvavus Shir, Lady Shir, and Shara Avodas Elokim, Shir number 22, Wednesday of Balak, 14 Tammuz, July 1st, starting the 5th Perek. Okay, we're learning Chayvus Halvavus, Shara Avodas Elokim, starting the 5th Perek. V'roi lonu ata levar ofani ha'ara ha'sichlis. Till now, in other words, for the last two prakim, Chavis Alvavus was talking about what he calls Ha'ara Toronis, the obligations that the Torah demands of us, the rituals, mitzvah saseh, mitzvah lo saseh, and he gave different levels of knowledge of Torah, different levels of belief in the Torah, which and attitudes towards Hashem and towards the Torah, Schar Va'onesh, and we explained how fidelity to Torah, keeping Torah, sometimes it takes Mesiras Nefesh, sometimes it takes other Kochos HaNefesh, will match up the degree of belief in his 10 rungs of attitudes, of belief. At the end of the 4th parak, he talked about how it's important to know these rungs that he established, because you go one rung at a time, like climbing up a ladder. We added to that if you know someone, karev someone on a madrega, Chazalovus would tell you not to jump, but to raise him one level, and then slowly take him up one level at a time. All this is what we've talked about in the beginning of the Shar, is Ha'ara Toronis, the rituals, the commands, which are Schar Va'onesh based, pretty much. He said in the 10th highest level of even Ha'ara Toronis, you want to do the Ratzon Hashem, and you don't even care about Schar Va'onesh. Okay, that's the highest Madrega. But now he's going back to Ha'ara Sichlis. He's going back to what he already said is a higher Madrega. The whole system is a higher Madrega than the system of Ha'ara Toronis. And he gave his reasons why, and he said why Ha'ara Toronis is absolutely essential as a stepping stone, but it is only, again I use the word only advisedly, because it's not only, it's the Torah, it's the mitzvahs. But it's only a stepping stone to Ha'ara Sichlis, which is the lessons, our attitudes towards Hashem, our feelings towards Hashem, if we're Makir Tov to Hashem, if we're Nichna to Hashem, these are all Chovos Halavavos, and they are, there's two types, we learned how there's two types of Ha'ara Sichlios. One is pure Ha'ara Sichlis, and the other one is to extract from even the rituals the Ha'ara Sichlis, whether you're mafresh challah, or you have the mezuzah on your door, or a man has tefillin, any mitzvah in the Torah, whether it's kriyas shma or sukkah or matzah, so there's the Ha'ara Sichlis to extract from it. And as he learned, one of the qualities of Ha'ara Sichlis is that it's not limited to a time or date or a particular day, as Ha'ara Toronis is, right? You can only eat matzah only a couple hours, as the whole mitzvah of eating matzah is like 5 hours, and you have the manishtana there mixed in, which always takes away from, yeah. Ha'ara Sichlis, okay, we'll translate Ha'ara as inspiration or motivation. Toronis is from the word Torah, and that's the ritual. Sichlis means the intellect. But as someone raised here a few weeks ago, an excellent point, it's not just intellect as opposed to emotion, it's both. It's sichlis and emotion, it's cholos halavavos. And I think my understanding of the word lev, as the cholos halavavos uses it, Rabbi Victor Miller, Zatzal, translates the name of the sefer as duties of the mind, not duties of the heart. Throughout Mishlei, the word lev is used as the repository of seichel, it would seem. So I always understood
and I still do, that lev is used when you want to have that interface between pure seichel and emotion. In other words, you're integrating, internalizing what you know, and the odata hayom, v'hashevosa elevovecha. So that is the lev, is that combination of reason and emotion. We know that it's very dangerous to just have, well, it's dangerous to have emotion without the reason. It's not so dangerous to have reason without emotion if you're going to follow the Torah, but it's like a pity. You're not stepping into that goal of life, which is that you're really there. You're not just going through the motions of the ritual, which we all wish we would do without the Chavos HaLavos, but that's what the Chavos HaLavos spent his whole introduction to the Sefer decrying, I think the word is, the emphasis that people are only holding by the ritual. Again, we can't minimize the ritual. Any movement in Yiddishkeit that has tried to pazaitic, push aside the ritual because of what they claimed was Chavos HaLavos, disappeared within a generation or two, maybe. That's the history. And the Chavos HaLavos predicts that when he says, and he talks about the essentiality of Ha'ora Toronis, the ritual and the inspiration, what we have to do, we have obedience, Schar V'Onesh centered. I don't know. Then if you want to skip a couple of hundred years, the Baal Shem Tov then came along almost 1,000 years later, not quite, 600 years later, and he said we're facing the same problem. The Musar movement came along 150 years after the Baal Shem Tov and said, we're facing the same problem. People are not working on their midos. I don't have any ritual in the Torah that's we have losikom v'lositor, let's say. But the real avod of a person is the midos, it's in the lev. This is all, you see that Klal Yisrael always struggled with this. Movements struggled with it. Chavos HaLavos was the first to speak out. We have a problem here. Again, we don't look at it as a problem. We say, boy, halavai, I would be holding by the Chavos HaLavos' problem. Which is probably true, but that's what he tried to accomplish. Baal Shem Tov, I don't know, it was more. That's why I think of it as Chavos HaLavos and then the Baal Shem Tov and the Musa movement. And now we're like sitting trying to, not do too many averis. Okay, but again, we're starting Perek Hey. The last two prokim delved into Ha'ora Toronis. Now he's going to delve into Ha'ora Sichlis, and it's interesting or fascinating that he's going to do this in the form of questions and answers, a du-siach, as they say in Hebrew, a conversation between the seichel and the neshama, or the nefesh. Why he does it that way, I don't want to talk about now. I don't really know. I have some ideas. Maybe you could formulate your own ideas. Certainly, an educator knows that if he or she wants their students to really internalize what's being taught, the best way is through, I'm not talking about tests. I'm talking about du-siach, right? That's the best way to make sure they understand what's really bothering them. Do they really understand the subject? Are they really internalizing what's being taught? And we do that Seder night, which is so important to establish emuna, bitachon, hakaras hatov, all the lessons of the Seder night. Chazal said, ideally you're supposed to do this derech sheila u'tshuva. And that's how the Chavos HaLavos sets up the Sefer. Till now, the last two prokem, really. I mean, the Hakdama was the whole idea of hakaras hatov. First prokem set up the concepts, taught us the concepts of the Ora Toronis and Ora Sichlis, and explain the Milus, and we'll call it the Chesroinus of each one. Not really Chesroinus, it's the Milus of each one over the other one. He definitely says very, very clearly that the goal should be Ora Sichlis, although Ora Toronis is essential and can't be dispensed with. And he explains why, and And then now, and then he talked, he spent two prokem talking about the different parts of the Torah and how we believe in the Torah, because it's ritual, right? So maybe Moshe Rabbeinu made it up, and maybe this, maybe that. And now he's gonna, Veroi Lonu Atolavoyer and Perikamishi, Ofani Ha'ora Hasichlis, the different forms that this, call it intellectual motivation take. Alderech Hashela Vatshuva, I'm going to do it through question-answer format, at Sof HaShar. That's going to take us to the end of Shara Avodus Elokim. Bavur Ma'a Sheyesh B'zeh Min HaBiur V'Hagiloy L'Mechkerenu. This method will, this is what he says. He doesn't explain, really. He doesn't elaborate. He just says this method of questions-answers will allow us to present the subject very clearly. Min HaBiur, explanation, vahagilui, and clarity, maybe lemechkarenu, to this investigation we're going to be doing. V'nomar, so let's start. So I don't think he'll even get up to the questions and answers today, because he, you know, he leads us into it. V'nomar ki ha'ora hasichlis. This sentence should be, if we want to aspire to ha'ora hasichlis, and I'm saying, you know, even if we, Aristotle's is like beyond us, but it's not, you know, but the extraction of Ha'ara Sichlis from every Ha'ara Toronis should not be beyond us. We should try to imbue everything we do with meaning. I always tell people the first stop should be the Sefer HaChinuch. What are we doing? Are we taking challah? What does it mean? We're kissing the mezuzah. That's okay. We have a mezuzah. What are we doing? What does it mean? What does the mezuzah mean? And to learn, that's really, halavai we would keep the mitzvahs Taranis, but I think our first level of Ara Sichlis would be to investigate the Sichlis of the Taranis. That's, I say Sefer HaChinuch, if you're familiar with the writings of Rav Hirsch does it also. And first on Chumash, and it's other Sforum really also, but his other Sforum are not so widespread, I don't think, as the ones on Chumash. And that's really the olive bays of, you have this work, if you ever see this humongous work that looks like Otsko put it out, but they didn't, on Sefer Taryag Mitzvahs. It's a lot of volumes, big Sforum, fat Sforum, anybody know what I'm talking about? No. It's a Sefer Taryag Mitzvahs. Maybe they even started translating it into English. And it has, it like really delves into each mitzvah. And a big part of it is the inner meaning of the mitzvah. Not just the inner meaning, the meaning of the mitzvah. What it's supposed to do for us, what it's supposed to do to us. Basic halachos there too. But that's a really very worthwhile sefer, because you know there's some mitzvahs you want to say, oh, they're doing a pigeon petach hamor in the park today. Say something. I wonder what that's all about. So I don't have time. I barely have time to go. I don't even know if I should go. But what does it mean? Like taka? Like why am I being pulled there petach hamor? I think I understand what a bechor is all about, but I know that tamei behemoths don't have kedushas bechor. I'm not even sure why, because if the idea of a Bukhar is this, why shouldn't it be by a Behemoth Tameya also? But okay, but why a donkey? And maybe you know Rashi Chumash, maybe you don't, but you don't really understand what Rashi says. Anyway, the Sefer is a very fine work. It's probably quite expensive here in Eretz Israel. But it's a lot of volumes. I don't think even think he finished yet. Then he has one volume, he went off a track. He made one volume on Ben Odom HaChavero Mitzvahs, which itself is very valuable work. Then he has one volume, I think, Aseres HaDibros, like he started snatching it up. Whoever wrote it, I don't know. It's called Sefer Taryag Mitzvahs. It's a huge, it's like three Gemaras in one. It's like huge, physically huge. I'm just saying, it's only a third to a half of this, but you know, if you want to, he has that. Otherwise, like I said, you have Chinuch and you have Rav Hirsch, the two that come to mind, that really just do that by every single mitzvah. They try to give you some of the Ha'ara Sichlis of the mitzvah. Then you have Ha'ara Sichlis, I'm connected to the mitzvah, just attitudes towards Hashem. Okay. Venomar, ki ha'ora ha'sichlis hi haskoras, this is such a beautiful sentence. Ki ha'ora ha'sichlis hi haskoras o Elohim es ha'odam ve'emtzolus sichlo. Hashem is talking to us. Haskoras o Elohim means Hashem is reminding us. It's come out like he's saying, you know, my seichel is not my seichel. My seichel is implanted in me by Hashem. And when I figure something out, Hashem is talking to me. I'm not a Navi, right? But we've all experienced, and maybe an idea popping into our heads. It's always like that, but sometimes we don't feel that. But when an idea pops into our heads, it's like a lightning bolt. Light bulb goes on in the head. You don't know where it came from. You didn't sit there and think. Even if you do, it's from Hashem. But sometimes it just pops into the head. Oh, I have a brilliant idea. I have a great idea. And it's Hashem talking to us. Hashem is sending you that message. Not through Nevuah, but our Seichel. And that's what he says here. Ha'ora ha'sichlis hi haskoras o Elohim es ha'odam be'emtzol ha'sichlo. Hashem is reminding us about things, we could say talking to us, through the intellect which Hashem gave us. Ladas also, to know Hashem. This is on the realm of ha'ora sichlis, is knowing Hashem. Knowing the dinim of the mitzvah is in ha'ora taronis territory. Or a sichlis territory is knowing Hashem. That's what you're doing. You know what Hashem wants, what he likes, what he doesn't like, so to speak. What pleases him, what doesn't please him. Now, l'hakir simani chachmoso, and to recognize Hashem's wisdom, the signs of his wisdom in the world, so that we end up seeing Hashem everywhere. Look what Hashem does. This is all, it's seeing Hashem. It's knowing Hashem and seeing Hashem. Because everything you look at is a piece of Hashem, so to speak. You see things, and whether it's nature and Torah, and you're seeing Hashem. V'hoyuzah me'esu Elokim, and this is a gift from Hashem, this intellectual stimulation is a gift from Hashem, l'misha sam ha-Torah or l'nusivaso, to someone who makes Torah, the conceptual Torah, who says, this is the path I'm following, Torah, that doesn't mean now the mitzvahs of the Torah, the idea of the Torah, the fact that Hashem revealed himself to us at Har Sinai through the Torah. So, someone who says, I want to know the Torah, I want to understand Hashem, I want to know Hashem, I want to know what makes Hashem tick. Kshehu magia. So he says, you know, Hashem, you have siyata dishmaya in reaching your goal. Kshehu magia el tachlis sichlo bera karaso. This is like, he throws this out. When you reach we've experienced this, I think. When we've reached the edge of our seichel, like we can't go anymore. Really, our seichel is always Hashem. Because, the brain doesn't weigh that much. There's not much there. It looks pretty puny compared to a computer. Bunch of gray matter, spongy material. What is it? So we don't know what it is. It's a mystery. But it's Hashem is there. But he says when you get to the edge of your seichel, you get siyata dishmaya to understand more. The nichsaf, and he is desiring lahagia l'rotzon hakel, to reach an understanding, more of an understanding, with alos b'maylos hachasidim upana levavu midagas olam azev etir dosav. He loses, he doesn't get, you know, we can't lose sight of the things we have to do in this world, but we don't get distracted by it. It's not the focus of our lives, and the truth is it is the focus of our lives. Please be mindful of me, but we have to rise above that. You know, you do what you got to do. Hashem wants that also, but he wants us. That's not the focus. That's not the purpose. The purpose is not to make a parnosa and to get through life and to get married and to have children. That's not the goal. The goal is to become close to Hashem. The Mesillas Yesharim says that. And that certainly, you know, that's the goal, the ultimate goal. There's ways of doing it. And this is the way of doing it. You're doing it by doing His will. And all the things I just mentioned are definitely His will. But you don't get distracted, because most people do get distracted. And they spend their time and energy and kochos and their brains and their kochos and nefesh, they spend in the temporal things. They don't spend them in spiritual things. Most people, they spend them in temporal things. But if you are determined and you want to do that, so you'll have siyata d'shmaya. So first of all, he says, Hashem is speaking to us, is reminding us when we use our seichel, because our seichel is Hashem's mouthpiece to a person. That's an amazing statement, a marvelous statement. But the seichel is Hashem's talking to us, His mouthpiece to us. And you get siyata d'shmaya and you go beyond that. I'm not sure why he says it here. Maybe he wants to encourage us, because you get depressed right away, because I'm not that bright. So how far can I get? So he says, if you have the right goals and you want and you desire, he said those two things. Nichsaf means you're desirous, and the Torah is oral and a sivasal. You want to follow Torah. You want to have that as our guiding light. Hashem is our guiding light, so it will kick in, and you'll be able to reach and understand things that you didn't really ever think was possible. She's borer etzlo mashenot habore b'seichel. He'll be able to clarify what Hashem implants in his seichel. So now he goes through a list of qualities the person should have. We'll go through it quickly, even though every two words is worthy of elaboration. B'shabeach ha'emes, he's a seeker of truth. V'ganus ha'kozov, and he has contempt for falsehood. Right? Truth seeker. You wanna get to the truth. Otherwise, that's a goal of yours. Uvachor b'tzedek, you choose righteousness. V'sur me'ovel, injustice bothers you. In other words, what you're learning is a principle of life. It's not just an intellectual exercise. So your goal is ultimately you want to match up justice. This is the way society should function. This is the way you should function. This is what Hashem wants. But you can't stand when you see an avla, it bothers you. It means what you're searching for is real to you. Ugamol bale hatova betov vahodosam. Very interesting. He says you pay back if you have hakaras hatov. This is a very basic thing, especially according to the Chavis Halavas. This is like the worst thing you can be, is not a makar tov. This is going to destroy your whole avdus of Hashem, as we see by Paro, right? Hashem lo yodas Yosef quickly becomes lo yodatias Hashem, and the whole avodas Hashem is based on that. So if you Gemol Bali Atova Betov means you repay them for the good that they did for you, Betodosom, and you thank them. Ugemol Anshe Hara Bara Veganosom, you punish the wicked if you're able to, of course. Veganosom, and you despise them, you don't think well of them, you don't look for excuses for their rishus. Of course, there's Gedorim. Maybe the person's a Tinuk Shanishma, maybe the person's an Ones, maybe the person himself doesn't know, whatever the case may be. But you don't accommodate evil, you don't compromise with evil. These are all, you know, by the time you get through the paragraph, we should be thoroughly depressed. But this is what he wants, the person that wants to be Zoche to the Siyata Dishmaya. He's talking about that extra kickstart that you get from Hashem once you reach the levels of your seichel. That's also Hashem, but then you can go beyond that if you A, B, C, D, E, F, G. L'hashlim in b'nei Adam, and you're in peace with other people, you act kindly towards them. This is all the qualities he says you need. You weigh out what they did for you, and the praise fits what they did. You don't just give superlatives, just you weigh the righteous acts that they do with the reward that they get. What's the fitting, what's not fitting, and he believes in forgiveness when a person does tshuva. Every two words here was an entire world. I'm not going to go back to it. He gives a list of qualities, of characteristics that are, obviously he considers them fundamental to having, being zoche to an intellectual motivation where your heart's in the right place, right? And you want to understand, and you want to understand Hashem, and you want to, like, be there. So, that's fine if you're seeking the truth, if you're b'shalom with people, if you understand, you stand for righteousness, justice, can't abide by falsehood, evil, machlokes. These are the things that are basic to the level of ha'ora sichlis. Once these things are internalized, so now he's a mensch. And so now when he gets this siyata d'shmaya, he will run with it. If he's handed the ball, he'll run with it. He'll appreciate more and more what Hashem has done for him. And he will strengthen the goodness that Hashem bestows upon him. That's the ultimate, Chalovas holds, that's the ultimate in our attitude towards Hashem is Hakaras HaTov. That's the beginning, that's the end. We can deepen our sense of Hakaras HaTov the more we understand. So the more HaKaras HaTov we have, and the more we feel a debt of gratitude towards Hashem, and that is how the Chabad Chabad sets up being an Eved Hashem. Being an Eved Hashem is primarily, the Chabad Chabad says earlier in the Shire, it's primarily not doing what he said. That's not what it is primarily. That's the fallout. Primarily it's the humility that you feel when you realize all that Hashem does for you, and you can't have no way of paying him back. So we're humbled. We don't know. That's how we feel if a boss of a dumb does something for us, major, and we can't pay them back. So we feel humble and contrite, and like we wish we would figure out what to do. So that's what we're trying to reach there. So he reaches a new sense of Hakaras HaTov. The more you learn about Hashem, the more you study, let's say, nature through Shaar HaBechina, or the more you study Torah, the more you appreciate the vastness of Hashem's wisdom, the exquisiteness of it, the beauty of it. And when he tries to teach it to people, or no, maybe l'saprom just means to count them. It's too much. The tiniest thing that Hashem does for us, he makes our fingernails grow, let's say, more complex than any machine that man has created. And if we delve into any, just part of the body, but all the disciplines, this is how the Chabad Chabad wants us to do this. Through studying nature and science, right, the way the blood clots and a wound heals is more complex than putting up the biggest skyscraper. So when you realize that, then Yitbaz Nafsho, he demands of himself to do for Hashem, to say thank you. Since he has that sense of correctness, of justice, So he knows he has to repay Hashem. The Yivchad Gmol Elokim Yisala Alrotel Vosel Vetzlo. Now we can't repay Hashem. We can't say thank you to Hashem, right? And in Achram Aspikim Lahodus Lacha Hashem Elokim 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 And then when it, so he has this whole picture. This is how he's inspiring himself. He thinks about everything Hashem did for him. He makes a list. It's an endless list. And then when he realizes, he can't ever thank Hashem enough. The numbers are just too vast. Every time he swallows, every time he breathes, every time he blinks, everything is like mole, thousands of tovos. So then he becomes humble. Then he feels towards Hashem humility. He's humbled. And then he wants to come closer. He wants to do things which are the way of saying thank you. So he'll do things that are in the Torah that are a way of saying thank you. He'll figure out his own things. He'll figure out how to say thank you to Hashem. But that's an imperative. It's a burden weighing upon him. How to thank Hashem for everything he does. This is the whole Yisod, right? This is what he explained in the Psicha to the Shar, that this is the foundation of our Avodas Hashem. And it's the foundation of a person. Hashem, how to make a person with that DNA. Otherwise, it wouldn't be fair. If he says, if you remember, he goes through the psicha with the five different types of relationships and the hakaras hatov that they engender. And then he says, kavuchomer, 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 Hashem, who doesn't have any element of self-interest whatsoever, and the five relationships there have some element of self-interest. So then you're humble, you're driven to thank Hashem, you're humbled because you can't, and this is the yourself, so you search for ways, and then you extrapolate, you know, Hashem likes this, right? It's like you go to someone's house, you know, for a Shabbos, it's a silly, for 6 months, you're bored in someone's house, B-O-A-R-D. And then you don't even know how to thank them. They did you such a toy, it's unbelievable. Like paying them rent is like a joke. It's so much beyond that. And you see what they like. You see the things that they admire, or the things that they like, or the things that's meaningful to them. Then you say, oh wow, I could get them kach for kach, because I see this is something that makes them happy. Right? This is how the mind works. Right? I think most people don't appreciate a bottle of wine when you unless it's like, okay, this is a $150 bottle of wine. It's a vintage 1906. There was a lot of rain that year, at least, I don't know. But that's how it is with Hashem. And this is how Hashem made the person. It says, if I'm searching for, how can I thank Hashem? How? Oh, I see. So you do, your first step is to do Hara Toranis. That's my thank you. Then I go beyond that and I say, oh, he likes it. When I praise him, if you have a healthy conception of Hashem, you know he doesn't need it. But that's what he wants us to do. And he likes being on the machavero. You start extrapolating from all the mitzvahs what he likes, and you're eager to do what he likes. Now it sounds almost mundane vis-a-vis Hashem, but the Chavit Halvavus, Adarab, the Chavit Halvavus says that this is the way to serve Hashem, and that's why Hashem made us this way. Why do we feel small? And why do we feel compelled to thank someone if they found us a job, found us a shidduch? Like, oh man, thank you. Like, how can I thank you? Well, why? Hashem made us this way. You have to realize nothing. So you say, well, okay, so then that's not fair. It's circular reasoning. No, it's not circular reasoning at all. Hashem made us this way so that we can serve him in the most ideal way. Because as we explained when we learned the Hakdama to Shara Avodas Elokim, this is the ideal way to serve Hashem. Because you're doing it out of a sense of inner compulsion. You feel compelled to do that. It's not the Schar V'Onesh compulsion of Ha'orah Toronis, saying you're going to do it or I'm going to punish you, or if you do it I'll give you a reward, or Hashem's stronger than me, I better do what he wants or else I'm going to really get zapped, or what can I do, you know, I have to do it. This is like an inner compulsion. And you say, well, it's not really an inner compulsion because Hashem made us this way. Yeah, but there's a lot of Bechira involved and a lot of Yetzirah, and people don't feel this Hakaras HaTov to Hashem, as you see, they don't. Right? It's a chiddush. When people uncover this Hadlovas and they internalize what he teaches us in Shavuot HaLukim, it's a big chiddush. Every mitzvah we do is thank you, Hashem. And just like, it's really, when you start thinking about it, if you, you know, one of the malachim do a whole day, they praise Hashem, they thank Hashem, they mesaper shvachol behodo, right, umaritzim, umakdishim, umamlichim, Hashem hakel, hamelech, hagadol, hagibom, harokadoshu, v'chulu, makabu, maleim, umamlichim, then he's there. Right, kadosh, 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 what do they do a whole day? They're saying hallel, they're singing shira to Hashem. That's what they do a whole day. They don't do mitzvahs, they don't do haratoranis, they do harasichlis. And I said, oh, that's what Hashem likes more than anything else. He wants us to acknowledge him. That's really a better word than praise, because when you say praise, it might sound like, I don't even want to say what, but Hashem, yeah. But if he wants us to acknowledge him, that's our avodah in this world, to acknowledge Hashem, because we don't see Hashem. Right? It's not easy. We don't see him. He's invisible. His pervasiveness, ironically, takes away from our seeing him. If he would pop up, you know, once an hour, so then we say, oh, there's Hashem. Look, Hashem has arrived. But he's in everything. He's in breathing, he's in eating, breathing, walking, talking. He's there. He's more, Hashem is more ubiquitous, I think the word might be, than time, right? You can't escape time. I can't break out of time. I'm within time. But and therefore, Grada, if you want an example of the difficulty, this is why it's very hard for us to conceive of time as a Bria, as a creation, because it's so pervasive that we just can't conceptualize time as a thing. Because when we conceptualize something as a thing, I think of the room without a ständer, and there's a ständer. Room without a chair, there's a chair. But time, it just is. So, and it's hard to think of it as a Bria when it just is, because we can't, it just is. But that's not true about time. Right? It's just, our human minds can't conceive of it in any other way. But Hashem is really like that. Hashem is taka above time. And Hashem just is. And everything is Him. And everything is Hashem. So it ironically makes it more difficult to, and He's invisible, and you're not allowed to think of Him as having a guf or any image. And really all descriptions of Hashem are just L'saber es ha'ozen, are just ways of being able to relate to Hashem. He doesn't really get angry. Chas v'shalom. Isn't really right. But this is what we do. So the Hakaras HaTov is not easy to feel. Hakaras HaTov. So brachas help. That's why David HaMelech was such a fundamental thing when David was masakeh to say 100 brachas every day. So that means every day you have to stop at least 100 times and acknowledge Hashem and say thank you to Hashem. That's all you're doing. So you have to do that at least 100 times a day. 100 times a lot of times. It's not enough, but it's okay. So that's what he says. So what did he say so far in this parak? He says he's going to discuss Ha'orah Toronis. He's going to do it in the form of a question answer. He says that's the best way to get something clear. And not ironically, or a Toronis, if you're not hooked into your Seichel, okay, but at least you're not doing Averis, you're doing mitzvahs, and you'll get rewarded for it. You know, you just have this notion that you're doing Hashem's will, you don't really understand what you're doing, it doesn't teach you anything, you may not even become a better person because of it. You don't internalize the limudim because you're not into the limudim. But you spend your life just doing mitzvahs and avoiding averus. Boy, you don't worry, you're going straight to Gan Eden. You're not even, no stops. It won't be as intense a Gan Eden as the next level, which you may not be interested in because you're too busy as it is. But we say sometimes that Leman lo nigal l'rik v'lo neled la'behala. Sometimes we should be wistful and realize, let's say, I'll talk about a man, you know, or even a woman. I'm getting up to daven. I'm anyway getting up. I'm losing sleep, and I'm taking the time to daven. Wouldn't it be great if I just thought or learned a little about davening and made it so much more meaningful? Like, why should I just? I'm anyway getting up. I'm anyway making Pesach, right? I'm doing it all anyway. Wouldn't it be? Isn't it? It's hard, maybe, but isn't it almost foolish to already not imbue it with meaning and closeness to Hashem and Ruchnius? You're doing it anyway. You say, I don't have time. You're taking the time anyway. Right? And you're doing it. So that's really Laman lo nigal l'rik v'lo nalei l'behalah means so it's not l'rik and l'behalah, like I say, because you're going straight to Gan Eden if you do it all. But it's a pity. That's what it is. It's a pity. So that's what he said. And then he said, you have a special siyata d'shmaya to have insights. I'm not even sure why he threw that in. Maybe to encourage us. He says you have insights that you wouldn't reach on your own. You have insights into what you're delving into when you reach the limit of seichel. He described the seichel as Hashem talking to a person. Then he describes the person that has this siyata d'shmaya, a person that is honest and erlich and wants justice and can't abide by injustice and has the mid of akaras hatov. This person is ready to fly. That's basically what he says. This person is ready to fly and is ready to reach these higher levels. Okay. Okay, we'll stop here, and then the next thing, we're up to Vayomer LeNefesh, the dialogue between the Seichel and the Nefesh. Okay.